And William, how would you say that the historiography of this period has changed and been perhaps shaped by recent racial justice movements?
So I've taught at two universities in Britain, the University of Bristol, where I largely taught undergrads, and University of Oxford, where I've largely taught postgrads. When I was teaching then in the 80s and 90s at the University of Bristol, I would say that radical history of South Africa still tended to be most strongly influenced by a materialist approach. So the old liberal historians and Afrikaner historians had put race at the center of South African history. And the Brits blamed the Afrikaners, as you suggested before, whereas the radical approach tried to look at other strands, and in particular, to look at the role of capitalism and imperialism in the development of race. So that opened up a comparative view from the start. South Africa may have been extreme, but it was on a scale that was not entirely unusual in the colonized world. But also the involvement and role of British people, that of course, one could argue that Britain and most Anglophone people in South Africa, though they may have opposed the extremes of Afrikaner nationalism after 48 and apartheid, on the whole supported segregation and held strong racist or racial ideas. Nevertheless, I think that the recent shift, a shift away from neo-Marxist or radical history in British universities more generally, perhaps even in South Africa, but since Rhodes Must Fall, there seems to me to have been a very strong re-emphasis of race and the idea that especially white historians of any kind, but including white radical historians, have underestimated the dehumanizing experience that Black people have had in many contexts, historically within South Africa, and of course within Britain and Europe as well, not to mention the United States. And I think that this is significant and is having a significant influence on how South African history is seen and the apartheid era is seen. Because I would say that my generation tended to look more at the materialist issues, the distributional issues, white privilege, white wealth, protection of white wealth, the solution of white but only white poverty, and so on, and the justification of whites being the main landholders. Now, I'm not saying that the inequalities have entirely been de-emphasized as a topic, but the issue of race and the universal experience of Black people of racism, it seems to me, is coming to the fore. And they're writing about it more. And also the people they're writing about, a leading Black intellectual, Xolela Mankhu, for example, wrote on Steve Biko. I would say that with the disillusion with the ANC now, and the Rhodes Must Fall and other Fallist movements are part of that disillusion, there is strong renewed interest in Fanon Biko and a strong emphasis on Black consciousness and Black personhood as a way of thinking about the past that is shifting historiographies, and certainly the historiography being written by many Black people.
I just wanted to add to what William said there as well, and I think this is why the role of a history teacher is quite important. And it's one of the things that we need to think about of our role is engaging in debates of historiography. And I remember showing my students the quote from Verwoerd where he says that South Africa would rather be poor and white than rich and multiracial. And I remember that just really threw one of my students really off. She said, "That doesn't make any sense. Everything is about capitalism. Capitalism is the reason why there's racism and that whole argument." And I think that's why South African history is quite powerful because it does challenge a lot of those things. And I think it's because class is important in a lot of elements, but so is race. So is things just generally like poverty and ideas too. And Biko talks about the Soweto uprising and about the issue of the old is that they're torn between duty and bread, and then to the young, all there is duty. And I think what the narrative of South African history does is it allows the teacher to pick up from different interpretations, to pick up from somebody who has a more liberal view and the great global civil society, but then pick up maybe a more Marxist interpretation, which talks about things like the importance of trade unions and could apartheid have collapsed without them? But then did Black consciousness and the ideas of freedom help inspire more people to join unions and so forth and connect those historical threads? And I think if students leave your classroom with that nuanced understanding, that's going to really set them up well for university. And we might be in some ways quite bound by the specification, but to the credit of EdXL, they've recently started talking about how a lot of their specifications are incredibly white. And they were even talking about things about diversifying the history of Nazi Germany, for example. And teachers would say, well, if it's not in the specification, should we be teaching our students this? We have a limited time to complete the course and get them to do the exam. And EdXL said, yes, you can. You will get credited for it, even if it's not in the specification. And they're working hard to train examiners to identify bits of information that they might not have known. So I'd say, as an advice to teachers, is you can stray from that anchor a little bit and you can start to complicate the narrative of the history rather than teaching that ANC-centric history that is laid out in the specification.